Good morning on our last morning together, this time. The Zen master, Suzuki Roshi, said, "We're all perfect as we are, and we can all use a little improvement." When we see ourselves as perfect as we are, we can love and befriend ourselves more easily. And when we see that we can all use a little improvement, then it's just natural to apply wise effort to help our inner friend be happier. The Eightfold Path that the Buddha taught is meant to encompass our entire lives. It includes every part of us, no part of us left out, no dark little corner left out. It begins with the understanding that suffering comes from clinging to having things be the way we want them and to not have them the way we don't want them. And that peace of mind, freedom, is not dependent on the conditions of our lives. That freedom is possible through our own wise efforts to protect and nourish the quality of our minds. And we do so with a commitment to non-harming, a commitment to letting go, a commitment to kindness and goodwill. One of the practices that I found helpful and something I've done, you know, for my many, for decades of practice of, you know, maybe yearly or, you know, it's not in a timetable, just kind of a feeling for it. But it's to reflect what's most important to me in my life, to really take some time. And even though I keep it close to me, there's a way that by reflecting on it newly, it freshens it, it brings it closer to us. And, you know, to recommit to it each time, you know, living my life in ways that really are aligned with that aspiration. In the same way that we take care of our bodies with nourishing food, we can nourish our minds by where we place our attention, with what we take in. What do we read? What do we watch? What do we talk about? How many of you find yourselves feeling really spiritually inspired when you have a talk about politics? Not that there's anything wrong with talking about politics, but it's one of the more challenging things to do wisely. When I was growing up, you know, my father would start every day, he'd have his cup of coffee and newspaper. And he would read the newspaper every day. And he always, you know, finished it, closed the page, and he felt satisfied that he was up on the news of the day. He knew what was going on now. But in this world of the internet, you know, it snuck up on us. And when we finish reading the news of the day, there's more and more and more, a never-ending stream of what to know, of what we could know. And there's no natural place for us to stop, to know when it's enough. And then on top of that, it keeps showing us all the things we're supposed to want. There's a saying, awakening beckons you from within everything. Now, after a long retreat, you know, when I went back to my computer to do my work, and my mind was still quite settled, I noticed that so much of what I encountered on the internet beckoned me towards anything but awakening. But I also saw the precious gift of the internet, all the wholesomeness possible, all the dharma available, this retreat, for instance. Such an ease in communicating with the people we love, so much learning as possible. And it became clear to me that wise effort in my relationship to the internet was possible, but that it required a heroic effort at times. And then I saw that awakening did beckon me from my computer. So I placed a little Buddha on my desk for inspiration. And for a while, I took on the practice of bowing to my computer before I began and reminding myself to honor this gift and by nourishing my mind with what was helpful and wholesome and reminding myself that what was most important was the quality of my mind and not feeding it with junk food. on retreat, because of the many hours we spend in formal meditation, the mind gets concentrated and settled, especially after a couple of days. Personally, I found that one of the most helpful things in maintaining concentration, maintaining a settled mind, is practicing daily. If we don't have a daily practice, if you don't have one, I strongly encourage you to make a commitment to it. A few things that can be helpful is to do it at the same time and place each day, so it's part of your routine. So it's just another habit, but a wholesome habit, something that's helpful in our lives. It can also be very helpful to have support. You know, I was really fortunate that my husband always sat with me, you know, so, you know, when one of us didn't feel like it, the other one would. So it was very helpful. But sitting with the group is really helpful. And I know that many of you sit with Gil during weekday mornings on YouTube, which is like one of the gifts of the pandemic. I know a lot of people who never had a daily practice until COVID. Because of this morning sits with Gil. I had a couple of students, you know, they used to, I don't know if they still do, I haven't checked, but they would call each other. They lived in different states, actually different time zones a little bit. And they would call each other in the morning, you know, and say, okay, I'm going to sit now. And, you know, the other one said, me too, and hang up and go sit. And just a little bit of, we're doing it together was supportive. daily sitting, you know, just like when we end a retreat, for those of you who've done retreats before, you notice that there's kind of a glow after retreat that lasts for a while. Well, same thing happens with daily sitting. It has a carryover that infuses our days. At least some. But if we spend the rest of our days with that mindfulness, the habits of mind we have support unhelpful mental states, and they can still get stronger, more established. So it's really worthwhile to really give a lot of care to the quality of our minds during our daily lives. And I'll mention a few of the things that have been particularly helpful to me in developing mindfulness in daily life. one of the things that my teachers started me with is to make a commitment to one activity to be mindful of. And so I started with brushing my teeth. So every time I brushed my teeth, twice a day I did this, I would spend 2 minutes of a concentration practice on my teeth, where my mind would be very, very close to where the bristles, a massage the gum line. And there's 32 of those teeth, you know, for some of us, right? And you know, just one tooth at a time. And it became a very rich practice for me. looks forward to brushing my teeth. Not just something I had to, get it over with. Treat it like a formal meditation period. Yeah. And then maybe a month or so after you've been doing that every day, maybe add a second activity. I picked activities. I always like activities with water, so washing the dishes, washing my hair, and it kept me, the water, the warm water was pleasant. So it was something that made it easy for me to do. And eventually, as we do this, we build, we'll become mindful more and more activities in our lives. Probably the most transformative practice that I feel I've done in my own life is a form of walking meditation. And I spoke about this yesterday in one of the groups, but again, it was after a long retreat, and I was doing work on my computer hour after hour after hour. And I saw myself, all the lightness from my retreat kind of beginning to dim. And so I decided that I would, every time that I got up from my chair, I would do mindful walking to my next activity. And, my office, my home is pretty small. So, walking to the bathroom is 10 steps and walking to the kitchen is 15 steps. But those 10 and 15 steps would be mindful. And not particularly slow, just mindful, just showing up and disengaging from what I was thinking. That was the hard part. Whatever I was, no, I'm in the middle of this. I don't want to set it aside. My mind would resist it, and then I learned to trust that I could actually set it aside. It was fine. And so I began doing this practice. And every time I got from sitting, which meant when I walked to the car, when I walked out of the car to the store, these little pieces of walking meditation, of being in the body, of releasing or attachment to thinking. And that's really woven into my life in a really beautiful way. So I really recommend that as a practice if you want to play with it and have fun with it. I'll mention a few more things. One that we can do at any given time is what I call bro, or a brother that's always with us. And what it stands for is breathe, relax, and open. And in just one breath, we can take a deep breath, relax our bodies, and open to what's next. And in particularly when we're really busy and, we're kind of running around and going from one thing to another, and it's like, oh, it just takes a moment, and it's this encouraging brother who's, always willing to help. One other thing that's one of my favorite things, after doing it for so many years, I started this after the retreat, is that when I write an email, I take a moment, just a moment, and I think about the person I'm writing, and even if I don't know them, and I smile. And just that sweet little moment, it doesn't take, when I have 100 emails, I don't anymore, but I used to. And it didn't take me any longer. It actually took less time because I was so much more relaxed. So I really encourage you bringing a wholesome activity to that. This year, I for the first time, I decided to try doing it when I was doing my taxes. that took a little more heroic effort. And the last thing I'll say about this is encourage you to transform your relationship to waiting. You know, in this life, and you know, we do so much what we call waiting, waiting in line, waiting on hold, waiting at the doctor's. Now that people are back to work, stuck in gridlock. And instead of grudgingly waiting, we can celebrate, you know, great, more time to meditate. You know, so meditators don't ever have to wait. You know, we can just practice, be at ease. So, you know, as we re-enter the rhythms of our daily life, I'd just like to suggest that you stay close to your bodies. If anything I suggested feels helpful, you know, please play with it. Stay present in your bodies. And I think Guru quoted this, you know, as the Buddha said, you know, in this fathom-long body, the whole of the universe is revealed. It's all here. Everything's here right now. Nothing else is needed. So thank you, everyone.